Elfie Zabacosta, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Ken, Ben. Thank you very much for the ask.
Now, you grew up in Ontario, but I hear you've always sort of had a connection and a soft spot for the Maritimes, and in particular Nova Scotia.
I always have, yeah. When I spent quite a bit of time there was when I was doing Evita, and it was the first time that I was able to spend, like, you know, say about 5 months or 4 months in Halifax, and even though I'd been there and done a lot of dates, in my heyday, the Misty Moon,
right,
all those wonderful places in Halifax, it was wonderful. And they asked me back when they asked me if I wanted to actually do a play at the Neptune Theatre. Timing was perfect. I was completely paranoid as all hell to do it, but I spent a lot of time in Halifax and met some wonderful people. So obviously, yeah, I have my heart has a great affinity for it.
Yeah, it's a cool place, very cool place. You have a lot of fans here too, which is good. You're coming later on next month, so that should be pretty exciting.
Absolutely. Well, no, I definitely amass a lot of great fans out that way.
Cool. Let's go back to 1984 for a minute. You release your first album. And that's the year you get a Juno for Most Promising Male Vocalist of the Year. What was that like? What was that experience like?
A little bit unbelievable. You know, everything about me getting into this business was sort of like a little bit of a Forrest Gump kind of thing. I kind of never expected. It's just like funny how sort of one thing fell into the other, and all of a sudden there you are up on stage, and I didn't really know how to take it. Apart from, you know, liking the idea that form and play and to hope to be able to make a living and a career out of it, it was nothing. I never really thought that I would make a career out of it. But definitely a little surreal in a lot of ways and all about what was going on at the time. I kind of just ran with it. I don't think I took anything really all that serious. I have to say that I'd be lying to you if I didn't say it was really very exciting and a wonderful time. But I was constantly scratching my head going, what the hell's going on? You know, that
yeah.
kind of feel.
It's sort of a surreal experience, I'm sure. And you were pretty young then, too.
Well, I was. And like I said, it was sort of... It's something I really was not expecting. I was kind of surprised, and I don't know why, but I wasn't expecting anything like that. And I know that the people back then, sort of said we lost Dean Cameron, but he was the president of EMI, and they were great believers in what I was doing. And somewhere along the line, I was always walking around saying, "I promise, I promise, I promise." So they may be the most promising. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, It was sort of like that, but it was a nice pat on the back. I was able to run with it.
Right.
Obviously, the Junos at that point, and at this point, I don't really understand anything about an awful lot of things anymore. But back then, it's probably what every young person probably could use as far as a boost to continue.
Right. When you first started recording your music, we play a lot of your music, and it's kind of a unique sound, isn't it? It's kind of popish, but it's also there's a little rock in there. How do you kind of describe your music?
Well, I have to say that I didn't want to be caught in, and I don't think I could have been, but I didn't want to be caught in the situation back then. Radio and record companies and whatnot, AM, FM radio, there was a very fine line. You play the rock kind of things, and then, you know, with all due respect to these wonderful bands, like the Honeymoon Suites of the world, and I can't even say Max Webster, or at the time, you know, Kim Mitchell and stuff, but there was a very Bon Jovi-ish, that kind of thing. You know,
hair metal, yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was some things that were going on in and around that time, and if you followed suit and if you would write those kind of songs, because it was like a lot of people that were like the publishing as well as the record companies, they were all tight together, and it was a business. So everything from the promoters to the radio stations, that everybody was sort of like really not pigeonholing, but you know there was a pretty thin hallway where if you followed suit and you got into that kind of thing, it was kind of pretty easy to market. I avoided it, even though I didn't want to do that kind of stuff, because I thought somewhere along the line I'd have to do it forever. And I figured that if I was going to write something or be involved in writing, I figured that, and if I was going to be in this business, I was hoping that I would have something that I would hate after doing it for so long.
Right.
So in some ways, I sort of didn't do myself any favors by falling between the cracks. I tried to do was to try to keep it as middle of the road as I could, but still trying to maintain, oh, I don't know, some of my identity in it, if you know what I'm saying. And so I didn't follow. For the first little while with the band and stuff, we had the rock guitars and things that were going on. Steve Jensen, the killer guitar player. But I was going along with it just fine for a while, but then started to realize it really wasn't where I wanted to be. And when the first Zappacosta record came out, I got me with the classical sounding guitar and started writing things that were a little bit more, you know, a little bit more outside.
Right.
And I put myself back into where I thought I was a lot more comfortable in writing songs that I felt good about. And I guess what I could say is I wasn't expecting mass approval, but I was sincerely hoping that there would be enough people out there that would like what I'm doing. And it didn't have to be a huge audience. It just had to be enough for me to be able to continue to go out there and play as I'm doing now. I can go back and forth all over the place with a duo or a full band or solo. And know that the folks that are coming to see me are people that have liked my music for a long time and what it is I'm doing, because it certainly wasn't because of all, like, many, 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 many radio hits.
Right. Speaking of your sound, your latest album from 2021, the title track, it's very unique. It's kind of different from anything you've done before. You do something really cool to your voice. It's kind of like a low, gravelly, almost Leonard Cohen type thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Talk about saved.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. How did that come up?
That song gone. I've been saved. Again, there's many, many things after all these years that one could do with their singing style and throat. There's to be able to say appalling or sublust. So again, in reading the lines and setting it up, just the thinking that I could add many more dimensions to just being able to sit there and sing operatic or rock and roll and whatnot, is to be able to think that people would find it. And I'm glad that you find it somewhat interesting, and that I could actually talk it through with the low kind of, like, you know, whiskey voice, and to be able to come up and do quite some acrobatics with it and whatnot. I mean, just in the hopes that the whole idea is to be able to see that if I could do it, again, it's in hopes that the people that are listening, that have listened to myself for all this time, would find it interesting.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping to be able to do, is keep doing things that are interesting. I mean, the world has changed in a lot of ways. I'm certainly not on top of, I have no idea what's going on these days. So I pretty much do what I like to do. And, I try to keep it as melodic and, sane, as interesting as possible, and however I could use my voice,
right,
as long as it's done properly.
Yeah, I thought it was. I was listening to the song, and then I looked. I was like, "Is somebody else on the song with them?" But it's your voice.
That's
it's awesome. Yeah.
Do it live. So there's some of the situations that definitely I test myself. I don't make life all that easy for myself. I can promise you that.
Let's talk about Dirty Dancing. You got to talk about Dirty Dancing if you're talking about your career.
Sure.
Your song Overload, that was on the official soundtrack. That must have been kind of surreal at the time. What did you think about that?
Again, one of those surreal things. The good thing about publishing deals that I had, I was in situations that I could, go out and write songs very tailor-made to people that were asking for very specific things. So I'd gotten pretty good at being able to write, I did This Where the Money Goes for Loverboy, and being able to do rock out kind of things. And I was doing some stuff for, I think Terry, it'll come to me, he's from the East Coast.
Hattie, right.
They did a song that I wrote, Jerry Mosby, I believe in liberty, sweet liberty. And there was a stuff that I was writing, constantly for publishing, so it was on the air. And then Dirty Dancing, so as far as like being able to be in the publishing situation, I had met a fellow through my publisher, Frank Davies at the time, and Mike McCarty. His name was, it'll come to me. But anyway, he's Jimmy Einer, who was out of New York. And he wanted to sign me to a company called Millennium Records. But I didn't want to go to New York. I had two small children. And as I said to you, this business was not necessarily what I wanted to get into, this years and years of touring and whatnot. I didn't want to do that. So he'd asked me to sign the Millennium and I'd go to New York and start touring, and I just didn't want to do that. So, but we maintained friends. And one time he gave me a call. He said to me, he says, one day off, I'm going to call you and I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. And I went, absolutely, Jimmy. So he called me and asked me to write this song that was sort of like a kind of an R&B-ish kind of like drag out rock and roll song. So I went into the small demo studio with a buddy of mine and we wrote this song Overload, and I sent it out to him, and I had absolutely no idea what it was for, except that Jimmy had asked me for that favor, and I said absolutely. So I handed it over to him, and he didn't say anything about what was going on in the movie. And I think that there was a lot of like really successful writers at the time that were going on through the States, they would have jumped on it, but nobody had heard of Vestron. They were using Bill Medley and they were using Eric Carmen, and with all due respect to those fine gentlemen, they were using people that seemed to be coming to their end of the end of the careers, you know what I mean? Right. It was like and so they were able to keep budgets down, to tell you the truth. Mm. And I think that's pretty much what he was doing. I don't think he was sort of schlepping on the fact that there was a talent was there, obviously. But so they put together this record and they put together the movie. Who knew about this movie? You know, who knew? So all of a sudden, there it goes. It comes out. Patrick Swayze with all those. I taught him all those moves, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So he got up there and started schmoozing all these women, and Jennifer, it took off. It went crazy, and I just rode the wave, you know. And, yeah. And I guess I could honestly say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And just sort of, you know, you put your head down and keep writing, keep working, you know, just do what you need to do, and sometimes, like I say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And that was my kind of a bit of a winning the lotto ticket, because nobody expected it, obviously. So
yeah,
right place, right time, serendipity, however you want to put it. All I know is that I was constantly doing something, and that one clicked.
So you're heading to Nova Scotia on October 6th for a very special show put on by the Lake Vaughan Fire Department, and it's going to be at Par and Bas. It's for a great cause. They're raising funds for a new truck. What kind of attracted you to this sort of thing? Have you done fundraising things before?
Oh, yeah, somewhere along the line. I've always done things that are like in a fundraising situation. I'm just looking at what Kenneth said, and it's like a full-size fire truck can get into. The cost is over $400,000, and all the profits go to the new truck.
Right.
I've done things for Ken before, you know, for the Jesters that he was with down there, and
right.
Always raising a little bit of money for something. But, you know, if it's it's being asked.
Right.
You know, sometimes, you know, obviously you can't do every single little thing, but I don't get asked a lot, but a lot of times, depending on and things like that out this way, I'm definitely approachable on these things. And I've known Ken, and once upon a time I was looking at Yarmouth area and buying maybe some property. They had an airport there at one time, and I was actually looking at getting out of Toronto, and I didn't care where I was going to move to. I was looking at Cape Breton, I was looking at Halifax, I was looking at something as long as there was an airport.
Right.
You know, for what I do, it didn't really matter where the hell I live. So, so I've known Ken for a long, long while. And then when he had mentioned the possibility of doing something for the Jesters, I did. And when they're like their Elks, whatever, you know, they're like
club. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing with now when he asked about the fire department down in Yarmouth, and the fact that he asked me, the fact that they want to do it, I'm all there. You know, I'm all for it. Known Ken for a long time, and I know he's very much into the community. And if I can help in any way, I'm in.
Well, exciting. It's exciting stuff. Can't wait to see the show. And I want to thank you so much for coming on this show today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for spending the time. I sincerely appreciate it. And for all those who are in the Yarmouth area, come on down.